Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. It's the beginning of a new year, and I thought we'd do a show that would inspire us all to look forward to change, to opportunity, and to being the best that we can be in this year and see what we can create from that. In order to do that properly, there's a book I just finished reading called Zentrepreneur. And this is a book written by John J. Murphy, who has written many wonderful books. And I'm very excited about it. He's the kind of author who you want to read all his books. And this is the latest one. And it's an entrepreneur who works with Zen. And in terms of Zen, it's really a spiritual approach that we're taking to deal with life in very powerful ways, and not only spiritual, and certainly very grounded ways, very powerful ways. And so John J. Murphy is the author of Zentrepreneur, and he's a guest on the show. John, welcome.
Well, thank you, Peter. I'm so glad to be here.
I'm so glad you could, so we can talk about being wonderful.
That's right. What else? What other choice would you want to make?
No other. And the book is very helpful in focusing on the ways to empower ourselves with others, and also in contrast to others, too, and knowing what to look for, and understanding how teamwork works, how we work ourselves, how we relate to others in positive and even negative ways, and how also to rise to a higher level of spirituality that can hold the whole package.
Well, that's exactly right. And, you know, I like to think of empowerment like opening the valve, you know, on a faucet. You know, the water wants to flow. It's meant to flow. It's natural.
It's amazing how we get in the way, huh?
It's exactly right. We get in the way. We close the valve. We close our mind. You know, we close our heart. We close our soul when we do that. And we don't allow life to then flow through us, which is what it's meant to do. You know, grass doesn't try to grow green. Oak trees don't try to grow tall. They're meant to. It's their essence. So our essence is to grow. It's to evolve and expand and express ourselves, and use the term creative earlier when you started. And it's to be creative. It's to manifest something in this world that it makes it a little bit better. And when we do that, we feel great. We feel the flow. You know, athletes call it the zone. You know, we're in the zone, and different people have different terminology for it. But it's peak productivity. It's peak. It's joy. It's bliss. And everybody's experienced it. Yeah.
That sounds good. And we have experienced it. But a lot of people will say, maybe you're naive about this, too idealistic, and, you know, life is tough, and we have to find our way. And then you say, well, oak trees grow naturally. But every oak tree is different depending on the conditions it's facing, too. It has
well,
to
sure.
overcome all kinds of weather and different climate changes.
Well, yeah, and every oak tree is different for a reason. It's what makes the world so beautiful. I mean, can you imagine if everything were the same? So, yeah, it's a different perspective. And I love, you know, the pushback, the resistance I get from people. It might sound strange that I love that, but it's why I wrote a whole chapter in Zentrepreneur called Yeah, But, because the world is full of yeah, buts. Yeah, well, that might work for you, but. And the minute you hear that yeah, but, be prepared for an excuse as to why somebody's putting the brakes on, why somebody's getting in their own way, why somebody's saying, well, I'm different, I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm the wrong race, or whatever. I mean, there's just all kinds of these isms that are, it's a consciousness of resistance. And so we don't even realize we're doing it a lot of times, but we're getting in our own way. And, you know, sometimes people say to me, yeah, but, you know, you've gotten it easy somehow. I'm different than you. Let me tell you this, Peter, and I think you probably know this from some of my other work or whatever, but if not, You know, I was born on Friday the 13th. My name is Murphy, as in Murphy's Law. If anything can go wrong, it will. I had two near-death experiences before the age of three. I mean, I've had some tough times. I was told in high school I could never play football again, which was a passion of mine, after a very serious foot injury and a week in the hospital and 10 hours of surgery. And I was essentially told, you know, you're done. Find something else to do. I've had heartbreak many times over the course of my life, and we all do. You know, we have financial losses, divorce, very painful divorce I went through. And these things are they happen. It happens. And the Zentrepreneur understands that there's a yin and yang to everything, an up and a down, a black and a white, a night and a day, a positive and a negative charge. And that every time there's something that's troubling, it's difficult for us, hidden within the silver linings are lessons to be learned, and it's all part of our soul development and growth. And when we step back and we learn that, and sometimes it's very painful learning, it wisens us up, it awakens us to who and what we really are. We're so much more capable than we give ourselves credit for sometimes, that we truly do get in our own way.
And you have chapters on how we do that, how we not only get in our own way, but how we can get out of our own way. And I like the list that you made of traits that we need to have to create change in our lives and empowerment. And it included credibility and courage, belief and commitment, ownership, responsibility, accountability, intuition, initiative, perseverance, optimism. Those are important to look at for each of us and understand how we're using those or not. And so this is a workbook that you've created.
Well, it is. In fact, I give workshops every week of the year practically. Last year I traveled 51 out of 52 weeks teaching and giving workshops. And so I take a lot of very practical teachings, practical exercises, practical techniques, and help people develop that credibility, develop that optimism, develop that sense of ownership and responsibility. Because if we don't do that, again, we're getting in our own way and not even realizing it a lot of times. It's just so easy in our culture, and in many cultures, to find some external excuse or some external person to blame for our own problems, rather than taking charge and being responsible and being accountable. It's just too easy to say, well, you know, it's my genetics, it's the way I was raised, it was my schooling or my lack of schooling, it's the government, and that's why I'm upset or I'm falling behind. It's the system's not fair. You know, we have all these excuses, and it's tempting to accept them because it gives us an out. But the Zentrepreneur says, no, you know what? I got to figure out a way to live my life in a very a positive and inspiring way. I have to get in spirit to be inspiring, which means I got to get past all this ego noise and fearful resistance and let that go and then let myself flow. As I meant to be.
There's so much in your book about the teamwork that you've done, being hired by different companies to come in and really put a team together that analyzes what needs to be done, where the problems are, and how to make it work together in ways that these companies have never seen before.
And yeah, well, I do that, like I said, every week. I'm doing it right now for a major corporation in New Jersey. And the thing about that is, Peter, is that when it's one person up against a system, boy, that's a tough battle. I mean, there are certainly Gandhis and Mandelas and such, you know, who are willing and able somehow to take on a whole government or a whole system. But boy, that's tough for most people. And so it helps to have constituencies, to have allies, to have teammates who are going to align with your mission, your purpose, your idea. And I teach that, you know, of course, as an entrepreneur, even as a writer, you know, a lot of people think, well, you're a writer, you write a book all by yourself. Well, no, you really don't, because so many of the lessons I teach in the book are gifts to me from other people and observations I've made. Plus, there's editors, there's publicists, there's distribution networks, there's always a team involved in anything. It doesn't matter if you're a world-class athlete or you're an astronaut or you're a surgeon or a school teacher. There's always a team of people interested in your success behind you, in front of you, alongside you. And it's ignorant and arrogant, actually, to ignore that and to think that any one of us is doing it all by ourselves. It's just simply not true.
Well, it seems to me there's a lot of hope for the future when you can show up in a company that empowers you to find everything that's not working properly and put it together synergistically in a much more effective and empowering way. And you're always seeking value added. You're always looking for what a company might be doing to spin wheels versus actually being productive.
Well, there's no question about that it is a challenge. By the way, I'm not always welcome when I step into a company. You know, people, here comes a guy, oh yeah, here comes another consultant, here comes a guy that represents change, and I don't think I want change. I kind of like things the way they are. And, you know, I get that all the time. I'm often met with skepticism and resistance, and that's why credibility is so important, and that's why you've got to have somewhat of a tough skin. You can't take everything personally. I actually welcome the skepticism at first and the yeah buts, because what that does is it helps me understand my audience a little bit, helps me understand where people are coming from. And by the way, I might be a little skeptical at first too if some stranger's coming in saying, hey, you know, we're going to start changing things. Well, that scares a lot of people. So I have to be very careful about how I go about teaching my classes and pulling teams together to get things done.
Right, and you have techniques that put them right into situations where they can identify how you might be of help to them.
Well, that's right. It's like an awakening. And it's so often the questions we ask that are not being asked, and the diligence and the care and the discipline we take in answering those questions. In consulting terms, it's data collection. You know, we need to get good data to be credible. We need to know how long it takes for us to do whatever we do. We need to know what kind of right first time yields we have. Do we get 1 out of 10 right, or do we get 99 out of 100 right? What is our performance? So here's the thing. When we collect compelling data, and we display it in a very compelling and intriguing and provocative way, the executives have to pay attention, because a lot of times it's shocking. Do you mean to tell us we take 6 months to do 6 hours of work? And that's true in many cases. Do you mean to tell me that we don't get anything right the first time? Because if we have a 90% yield at step one and a 90% yield at step two and a 90% step at yield three, when you multiply 0.9 by 0.9 by 0.9, you're already down into 0.7 something, right? So when we have a complicated process and we're not exercising care and discipline to get each step of that process performing at a peak level, just do the math. And the problem is a lot of people don't do the math. They wing it. They guess. They don't really know how their own businesses are performing or how their own processes are performing. And then what happens is they lose credibility. People don't take them seriously.
Right. And so
I'll tell you what. Great. Oh, yeah.
The companies, the left hand doesn't talk to the right hand. And it's amazing how much repetition there is and work that just doesn't get recognized at all. It gets lost.
Oh, it's extraordinary. And that's just inside the company. Then there are a lot of organizations that really don't have a good understanding of what's going on outside the company, what the competition is doing. We live in a world of innovation, and you know this. Everybody around the world knows this today in some way or another. Just take the cell phone, for example, and I kid about this now, but if you took your cell phone from even 7 or 8 years ago, Peter, to a cocktail party or to some event, and you were showing it off. I did this at a recent speech on how to wow customers, and I did it kind of as a joke. I pulled out a cell phone that I'd kept from like 7 or 8 years ago, and I said, I want to show you guys, this is the coolest thing. You know, it doesn't have any wires. All you have to do is, you know, dial the number and pull the little antenna up. Oh, and if you want to text, you just have to hit the one button like three times to get a C, and hit the button twice to get an A, and then you can spell the word cat. And, you know, and people started laughing because they're like, is he serious? But I don't know if you remember, you know, originally when we were texting, you know, it took 5 minutes to write, you know, three sentences. At least it took me a long time. And, you know, now you pull that same phone out today and people just start laughing. They're like, what rock did you climb out from under? And it's only 5, 6, 8 years old.
Right.
Because now people are wondering, well, yeah, but can your phone, you know, drive your car? Can it roll your windows up and down? Does it got GPS and video and digital cameras and, you know, flashlights and who knows what? The apps these days are amazing.
Right. So the thing is that how amazing are we? We look at how modern life is and how technologically advanced it is, and then each of us looks at our own selves and goes, and we go, I didn't create that. All I'm doing is bumping around in this world trying to make the best of things. And I don't know if I can be effective or not. And so moving forward into this year, it's really about what you can offer. I mean, in this book, you do offer so much about how to define ourselves, how to understand the way that we get in our way, our yeah buts, and also so many different habits, traits that we can't seem to change or quell. And so
yeah.
So these are ways, and you point out what we have to look at in order to be effective. You do this with teams to show them how they're not working with each other, but it's also so important for ourselves to know how we're not working with ourselves.
Well, that's where it really starts. You know, we want to so often blame it on someone else. It gives us an out. But the Zentrepreneur, and I believe there's a Zentrepreneur in all of us, you know,
sure.
It's our spirit seeking expression and creativity, and, you know, that we're here for a reason. And we need to, you know, find that reason, pursue that reason with some passion. And that passion then just feeds on itself. When we look at these innovations, whether it's, you know, an app on a cell phone or it's a, you know, I was chuckling the other day. I was watching 60 Minutes, and Amazon's now going to start using drones to deliver packages to people's yards. You know, just the amazing accomplishments that humankind has come up with. I mean, yesterday I was in, you know, on the Pacific coast of Mexico, and last night I spent the night in Chicago, and now I'm in the New York greater area. I mean, just to travel that distance, to work with the different people I've worked with, it's amazing what humankind has come up with, our innovations. And the thing that's so amazing also is that it's endless. We just don't even know what we don't know. And the whole process of discovery and creativity is mind-blowing. It's from a spiritual standpoint, it's freeing. It's allowing us to challenge paradigms and break new ground and be pioneering.
But let's look at that
for
ourselves going into this year, feeling perhaps that we could be a much more powerful, effective, dynamic leader and an inventor, perhaps. Who knows what we can invent for anything, any field that we're in, new creative ideas and ways. And And then we look at ourselves and go, what do I need to do? How do I need to understand myself or position myself to be my best? And we look at, for instance, what our attraction principle is, or what is it in ourselves? How is our Zenergy being used? What are we creating through empowering ourselves, and how can we do a better job of it? And there's so much in your book that I really appreciated to transcend ourselves.
Well, that's exactly right, and that's why I wrote the book, to be practical and useful for all people, not just entrepreneurs or executives or PhDs or whatever. It's practical for the homemaker. It's practical for the college student who's still trying to figure out their career. It's practical for anyone in any position, because you take a chapter like chapter one, what if? The chapter's titled one, what if, as you know. You know, what if I try something different? What if I take a class in, wine tasting? Or what if I take a class in basket weaving? It could be anything. And that what if is all about exploring. The spirit wants to explore. The spirit wants to see what's out there and taste it a little bit. And, we'll discover things we like and things we don't like. And I think a real gift that any parent can give a child is exposing the child to different flavors, so to speak, different experiences in life.
Yeah,
sure. Music, literature, art.
Sure.
Academics, of course. Sports, piano, whatever. And because the child will find an energy or his energy that a frequency that they resonate with. Some will be attracted to music. Others will be attracted to, some sport. And there's all different sports, of course. There's just so many possibilities. The thing is, at the end of the day, it's about alignment. It's about aligning our frequency, our energy, our vibration, right, with other like vibrations. And then we feel it. We feel it with relationships between people. We're in sync, so to speak. We feel it with music that turns us on or turns us off. We feel it with different parts of the world. Some areas we're very attracted to, some climates, others we're not. That's all energy.
So we really have to be talking to our hearts and let our hearts guide us to what turns us on, what's natural for us, where we can find our power because our heart wants it.
That's exactly right. Because when we're in sync, when we're in flow, we know it because we feel great. So the real question is, how do you feel? If you don't feel great, if you don't feel joyful, if you don't feel like you're growing and you're flowing, that tells you something's wrong. And you need to find out what it is. And you need to do that by opening up your mind and asking simple questions like what if and why not. Those are the first three chapters. And when you find something you resonate well with, then the next question becomes, who and how. And those are the next chapters in the book.
And maybe the who can even be part of the discovery process by finding people who you attune to, who inspire you, and they can help open you up to your own sense of what is important and what really drives you.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm a big fan of field trips in school and internships where kids can get out and see what it looks like, what it feels like in a hospital laboratory or in an advertising agency or in a movie studio or whatever. Get out there and experience it, because when we experience it, we're feeling it with the heart. We're not just academically thinking about it from the head.
We get turned on.
Oh, yeah. And it's like, kid comes home all excited. Incidentally, this is the same way with adults. I mean, I'm working with people in their 50s and 60s every week who are like kids. You know, they can feel that there's something really positive going on in their workspace, and they can feel excited about the changes that are on the horizon and ideas maybe they've had for years that they've never had listened to. So what I'm basically trying to do is give them a channel to get those ideas heard and acted upon. And we do that again by teaming up and coming up with good data and a compelling case for change. And we do risk proofing so that we're not being careless. And we get, executive audience to come in and say, I don't see why we wouldn't do it. And then the people are wide-eyed. They're like, really? I mean, we're actually going to do this? I can't believe it. And I bet people.
Your job is to create a team that can actually get it done rather than just talk about it.
That's right. And then to get it done and then to feel the difference. So when you get it done and it's clearly better. It's better for the employees. It's better for the customers, the clients. It's better for the shareholders or the investors. It's a win-win-win. Wow, people feel great. And then when you feel great, you know what? We're in flow.
Right.
We must be.
Right, and then that flow only creates more inspiration.
Well, exactly. That's when people start saying, hey, when are we going to do this again?
But then for that, you also have to create ownership.
Well, that's right. And you have to remind people that you have ownership. It's that so much ownership is actually within you. You own your choices, and you own your attitude, basically.
Right.
It's
but
not,
the team also has to own its object. You know,
but yeah, it's got to own the responsibility to get the changes made, and it's got to own the responsibility to speak up and challenge things and get it done. Yeah.
So you that's the great thing is to be inspired, and so this book is for people. There are so many people who actually do work with others, and they can be inspired in their relationships, their working relationships with others. And then there are a lot of people like me who work basically by myself, advising people who work with others. And so it's really important to watch the process flow. And so it's great to get into the nuts and bolts, and I like that. There's so much in your book about dealing with the nuts and bolts. And then there's also so much about the spiritual aspect of letting go, of doing your best, and then accept that there's a lot that we just don't know, and we have to allow serendipity to take place.
Well, that's right, and that's what I meant a little bit by ownership. We have to own what we put into it, recognizing that what comes out may not always go our way.
Right.
So like with a relationship, I have to own that I will love someone unconditionally. And whether they choose to love me back is outside my control. But I can feel good about loving unconditionally. I can feel good about treating people with respect despite how they treat me. I can own operating at a higher frequency, so to speak, a higher level of Zenergy, whether others respond or not. So it's not conditional, it's unconditional. And as long as I approach each and every day, work, at home, in my relationships, with that positive Zenergy, I can own that. What's interesting is with the law of attraction and, you know, karmic energy is that what goes around comes around. And it may not come back to me from that one person who's being disrespectful or unloving, but it could come back from 10 others out of the blue. But it does come back. Everything comes back. And so, by recognizing that I can own what I put out, into the universe, what I put out into my job and into my family, my relationships, and how other people respond is their choice. And if they respond negatively or critically or disrespectfully, that's actually their problem, not mine, unless I make it mine.
Right.
It takes strength and courage and wisdom to do that. But it is something we all have the power to do. And that's part of the valve we spoke about earlier. You got to open that valve to let that true positive life force and loving force flow through us, irregardless of what comes back.
And that's why your book, Zontrepreneur, is so important, and I really recommend it heartily to people to pick up and really get themselves in alignment with their future. And so they can find it in bookstores, online. Zontrepreneur, starting with a Z, Z-E-N-trepreneur. and you are John J. Murphy, the author of that book, and I really am so grateful to have talked with you for this half hour. And thank you so much, John, for being a guest on Energy Stew.
Oh, thank you, Peter, and let's come back anytime. It's been a great chatting with you, and I hope your audience enjoys our conversation.
I hope so, too. Thank you. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at Peter at HeartRiver, HEART River.org, or 212-222-7748. I'd love to hear from you, and thank you so much for listening.